Good. Excuse me. Good evening, everyone. Yes, I have a request today to talk about how to really let go of someone in our life. So we all have this attachment, isn't it? We attach to our belongings, we attach to people, we attach to our dogs, we attach to our cats, isn't it? And sometimes we even attach to our appearance. So it's attachment. And I was asked to give a talk, how to really let go someone in our life. And actually it's remind me of I think about 2 years ago, and I heard someone said that, you know, because I had so much attachment towards my son, I want to let go of my son. Then he asked the son to move out from the house. Sometimes it's so funny, people have all sorts of idea that what's a letting go, you know, the thing that get rid of things that is letting go, you know, I get rid of these things, letting go. You know, you can't, this is, letting go will not happen. By using willpower, letting go is not getting rid of things. If we let go, actually has to come from the wisdom. We have to develop the wisdom. We have the wisdom power to let go. And then we have to train the mind to let go. The mind cannot just, come on, mind, let go. Can't, isn't it? You have to train the mind to let go. And sometimes what we think that we attach to, actually we don't even know what we attach to, isn't it? So if we don't know what we attach to, what to let go of? Isn't it? We don't even know. This actually just remind me many years ago when I decided to become a nun. I have a son, my only son, my future, my everything. And this is how I so attached to him, like because my only son, like my future, my everything, you know. So then I started to practice, and I have the intention to become a nun. But I still, because of my attachment towards my son, so I give myself a lot of reasons, you know, that why, you know, he still need me and this and that, you know. But actually he don't, you know, because he's already grown up, he's already 18 years old. But I give myself all sorts of reasons. Actually, it's not that I give myself the reason that he still need me, you know, like I think that that person attached to me, you know, but actually I attached to him, you know, I couldn't let go. But I can really see that, you know, how I struggle. And that's why sometimes people ask me, how do you let go of your son? Is it easy? I say, it's not easy, you know. Letting go of him is just like cutting off, like piece of, you know, flesh from my body. That kind of feeling is painful feelings, because how I identify my son as part of me. You know, it's my, because I own him. We identify the person as, this is belongs to me, part of me, you know. So then letting go of that part of me is just like cutting part, you know, the flesh from your body, you know, that kind of feeling is very painful. And as I practice, you know, as I have more clarity, as I become, my mindfulness becomes stronger, and as I more aware of the source of the attachment. Sometimes you always think the object is the problem. Actually, the object is not the problem. We think that we have to get rid of the object. We not be able to see the source, the cause of that, where the attachment coming from. So then we are missing the point, isn't it? We think that we get rid of everything, then we can let go. No, we not be able to see where the attachment coming from. Then I started to see that actually, that how I identify my son, like how we identify our experience, like because we think that this person gave me happiness because of this person, how this person made us feel, isn't it? When we meet someone and the person make us feel happy, the person make us feel that it's a very pleasant feeling being with that person. So then we started to identify that experience, and we think that our source of happiness is come from this particular person, isn't it? But you not be able to. We think that this is the person is the source of happiness. But I can see that actually is not. My son is not my source of happiness. Actually, because as I practice, as I experience the happiness within my own heart, within myself, the inner peace within me, I can see I have the happiness within myself. My son is not the source of my happiness. But we think that this person is the source of our source of happiness. Oh, I lose that person, you know. Oh, I can't live without that person. Or sometimes we think that person is our source of suffering. Then we try to get rid of that person, isn't it? We think that the person causes us a lot of suffering. As long as this person I get rid of, I'd be happy. Isn't it? So because we're not be able to see where is the cause of the suffering. It's like letting go will not happen by just like, you know, we think that, you know, sometimes when we listen to a Dharma talk, yeah, makes sense, you know. But it's only theory, you know. Theoretically, we understand, letting go, you know. We can give a whole Dharma talk about letting go. But our mind still couldn't let go, isn't it? We still hold on to it. But that's why you have to train the mind to let go. We have to develop this wisdom. The reason why we're holding on to things because of the lack of wisdom. We attach, we will not be able to see where is the source of the attachment, where is the source of the suffering. Sometimes we're looking at the wrong place. So that's why it's first thing, if we want to let go, what that we are letting go of? If we don't know, We don't even know that what we attach to and where is the attachment. How are we going to let go? You can never let go, isn't it? Sometimes we think that we let go. Like some people said to me that, oh yeah, now I'm not attached to my body anymore. So I get sick. I don't see doctor. So then they think that they let go. They become like couldn't care less. I don't care. I don't bother. And then they think that it's letting go. That is not letting go. You know, they say it's important. We have to, missing the point, you know, we have to really see where the attachment come from. Where that we get caught, we get hooked in. That's, we have to catch that. If we not be able to catch the point that where we get hooked on, we can never let go. So the first thing, we have to be able to know what are we going to, what to let go of, you know. So they say we have to, the first thing, we have to understand where the attachment. So when we have contact, we have the sixth sense, we have the our five sense space, you know, eye, ear, you know, and then we have the object. When the contact happen, that is the feelings arises, and that's the point that pleasant, unpleasant feelings. It's just like you use a two piece of set wood. You rub it together, spark come out, isn't it? The spark is that pleasant, unpleasant feelings. And they're where we get hooked onto. We hook onto pleasant feelings, we want more. And then unpleasant feelings, we try to get rid of it. And then you have anger comes up. There, we not be able to catch. Then it's just like the spark come out. If you started to pour kerosene, how is it like? It started to burn, isn't it? And then we keep, then this is how we started to think of it, and then we react to that. We react to that, you know, like that when our craving come, our desires come, we adding on, we add on the fear, we think of it, and then we think of all the way how to get it, you know. And actually we are adding the fear. And we think about it, and we have started to have all unwholesome thoughts, you know, how to get this thing, how to achieve this thing, you know, how to get this thing. So, and when anger comes, we think about how bad about that person, without knowing that actually, that feelings comes, the emotion comes, actually it comes and go. You know, when the spark comes, when you have, you rub with two pieces of set wood, and the spark comes out. Actually, if you don't react, if you don't feed the, if you don't pour, you don't put in the fuel, it's not going to have fire, isn't it? It would not catch fire. It just stop, isn't it? It's the spark come out, it just drop. But we are the one who holding on. We are the one from that we add on. Because we start to identify all this experience. Like, that's why our cause of that is come from our desires. So we have these three types of desires. That is the desires to come from our sensory pleasure. That something's nice, some good music. We just want more. We enjoy it. And someone criticize us. We think about it all days and nights. We couldn't, you know. And we get so upset with that person. And then we think of how to, sometimes that how people couldn't let that go. And then they try to find every possibility, opportunities to give back, to say something back, isn't it? Because you feel so upset, the person said something, you know. And this is how we get caught. And then we think about it, and then we got so upset. We have so much suffering. And thinking about it, actually, someone criticizes us, it just sound arising and pass away, you know. But we take this to be me and mine, that person talking about me, mine. The person criticizing me is not right, you know. I'm supposed to be so good. So who? This is how we, each one of us, we have a story about ourselves, how we think about ourselves, how we identify ourselves, who we think we are. And someone said something that is not really, you know, comply with what we think who we are. We got very angry, we got very upset. I remember that it reminded me of one of the jokes that this photographer, she went to visit her friends. Her friend invited her for dinner. So then she started to show her friends her photographs that she has taken. And then the friend said, oh, it's very nice photo. You must have very good camera. She was fuming. She said, what? It's not because of my skill, because I have a good camera. And the whole night, she couldn't let that go. She was thinking about that again and again, and she really fuming inside. So she really cannot get over that. So until the dinner finished, and then she had to take leave. She said, okay, thank you so much for your food, and you cook a very nice food. It's really delicious. You must have very good pot. This is how, isn't it? We really think of nothing, you know. This is how sometimes we create a lot of suffering for ourselves that we get hooked onto, attached to that because of that is natural. You know, we not be able to see that. So we think that, you know, our source of suffering is come from the object. We think that the object creates the suffering. We not be able to see that in between the suffering arises between the mind and the object. When there is contact and there is that experience, you know, our feelings arises, and then we get caught. But not easy to be able to see that, isn't it? Because it's very refined. Because we've been doing that, you know, like automatic pilot. Immediately we hook onto, immediately, you know, something that we don't like, we straight away get upset. Things that we like, we want more. We become very greedy. It becomes very natural. And then we do it without even know that we are doing it. But because it's very subtle. And also remind me another story is I was really, this story really struck me very, very hard. And it's really wake me up so much. I remember that I read one of the, we call it, it's a Tara Gattas. There's all these enlightened beings that they after they have enlightened, they're reading some of the stanzas that, you know, how they get enlightened. And one of these is really that is have a big impact on me because of this monk that he used to practice, we call that Asupa practice, that is the practice of like the foulness of the body, looking at things that, you know, that, you know, this is she's a meditate. She will go to the China grounds and look at the cops, you know, to look at the those cops that started to blow smell bloated and all, look at all these disgusting things, you know, so that to overcome his lust, because he got lots of lust. So then instead of looking at the beautiful thing, you're looking off the things that is very disgusting, so that to overcome his lust, that do this kind of contemplation of the foulness of the body. So as usual, he went to the charnel ground and do the same thing. And as he was contemplating, looking at that time, there is a female corpse in front of him that is quite bad, like it's really bloated and really quite disgusting, you know. And while he was contemplating, and even that moment when he was contemplating, looking at this horrible corpse, you know, and he got lust aroused in him that moment. And he was really shocked. He was really shocked. He feels so disgusted that how come I have lust? Something is not really beautiful. And actually that moment he got enlightened. Because he realized that his lust is not coming from the female body. It actually arises within himself. That lust, that desires, is not outside. So that's why sometimes we're missing the point. We think that, you know, our problem, our suffering is the object, you know. So we keep looking at the object, and then we think that if we get rid of outside all the things, you know, then we'll be happy. We'll not be able to go to the source, not be able to really treat it. We don't know where our attachment come from, where our suffering come from, because it's between. When there is a contact that is coming, the greed come, the desires come. So that's like, it's not about not seeing, not touching. You know, yes, we restrain ourselves, like, you know, and not to. It's not that like the first desire, that is the first type of desire, is desires for good food. You know, we want to indulge in our sensory pleasure. But it's not about the object itself is a problem. It's that the contact gives rise to that we hook on to. You know, the pleasant feelings, we like it, we hook on to. That is a problem. So that's why sometimes if we keep thinking that, you know, only if I let go of this person, I let go of my dog, I let go of my possession, then I'm okay. I let go of my property, I'm okay. But your attachment is still there. Your desires is still there. We still haven't carried off our desire. It's still there. So we only change object, isn't it? From one object to another. This is how we in life, you know, that we change our object from one to another. We let go of one person, we attach to another person. And then we let go another person, we attach to another. But we haven't go to the source, you know. We can't see where we get caught, get hooked onto. That's why it's important we know the point where we, you know, get hooked onto. So that is like the desires, you know, wanting, you know, the sensory pleasure, that is a causal one. The most difficult one is that desires to be, craving not to be. That is our sense of self. That is how we started to identify ourselves with all the experience, all our belongings. And that is the difficult part, the sense of self, the ego. You know, I remember that many years ago, and I was very, very upset with my relatives, one of my relatives, and I was thinking that she's not doing the right thing and da da da, and then I was, you know, throughout almost the whole night. And after that, I just started to wake up and I said, hang on a minute, you know, because I was thinking that I really, because I care for this person, and I think that I'm attached to this person, that's why whatever things happen to this person, or I think that this person being unskillful because I attach to this person, I love this person, then that's why I got upset. But actually, I realized that And then I ask myself, if you really love this person, no matter what that person do, isn't it? You still love, isn't it? Unconditional. Then I realized that actually I attach to my views and opinions. I identified that, you know, because that is how we attach to our views and opinions. We think this is right, that is wrong. And someone doing something that we think that is wrong. Because this is our ego, our sense of self. This is how we identify ourselves, you know, experience with the people that we with, you know, and then we create the sense of self. You know, it's still me and mine. You know, we attach to that. We will not be able to see that. And then I thought that my attachment is my relatives, actually is not. I attach to my own views and opinions. I think that is right. And the person is doing it wrong. Then I attach to that. But sometimes you can't see that because it's very subtle. That is very, very difficult to see. And that's like, to be able to let go is not easy. You have to train your mind. You have to practice. That's like, this letting go, you have to practice. You have to apply this in our the daily life and how to let go, you know. And that's like, the first thing we have to understand, we have to have an idea that, have a knowledge that where we usually get caught. Then only we can let go. So that's why we'll be able to recognize first. That's right. If we know what we are holding on to, what we are attached to, then only we'll be able to recognize. But to be able to recognize is not easy. It takes lots of practice. See? And this part of practice is a DIY practice. You know, you have to do it yourself. No one can help you. You know, but you can listen to the talks, and even I can share with you, and you know, and no matter how many books you read, how many Dharma talks you listen to, if you don't apply that, if you don't do it yourself, you can never, the letting go will never happen. It's DIY. So I remember when I saw DIY, it took me so long trying to understand what is DIY. Because nowadays they have all this, you know. I remember for many years, about 10 years, I haven't using computer and emails and things like that. I remember the first email I received, and they're right there, you know, give me the reply, ASAP. I was looking ASAP. Think of half day. You know what? It's just ASAP, you know. You know, and then at last, like, someone told me, as soon as possible, then this is how I know, you know, that's why, you know, it's DIY. And actually, recently someone told me one of the jokes that the wife asked her husband, how would you describe me? The husband said, A-B-C-D-E-F-G-H-I-J-K. Then the wife said, what does it mean? Then the husband said, oh, A stand for adorable, B stand for beautiful, C stand for cute, D stand for delightful, and E stand for elegant, F stand for fashionable, G stand for gorgeous, H stand for hot. Then then the wife looked at him, so how about IJK? I'm just kidding. Yeah, sometimes like in, you know, in life, like, you know, and sometimes I just, you know, giving talk, sometimes I just tell some jokes that it's not so dry, so that you can so that you can continue to listen. Because sometimes thing is too technical, you get so dry, you know. It's like it tends to get very boring, you know. Especially unless you experience that, and then you really get what I'm trying to explain, you know. Then it's easy for, I mean, that it makes sense. But sometimes it's, I know, unless you practice, you know, then sometimes what I say is doesn't make sense to maybe some of you, you know. But I hope that it makes sense to you what I said. I try very hard, you know. I do my best. I remember someone said to me that, you know, you're giving a talk and then you sometimes you have all these questions, Q&A. How do you deal with this Q&A, you know, that questions that if you don't know how to answer some of the questions? I said, no problem. I just tell them I don't know. Because this is come from the sense of self, you know, because we think that we should have answer for all the questions. I should know everything. No, I don't know everything. I just speak on my own experience, what I know. You know, I can't speak that things that I don't know. And this has come from my own practice, my own experience, the experience that I just share with you. If you think that you don't mind, you know, to take that this back, you know, and to apply it in your life, fine, you know. But you think that it's rubbish, so you go back, you throw it into your bin. Okay, don't bother. So that's why actually this ego, this sense of self actually creates lots of suffering. We hold on to that. But without the sense of self, we are not here. That's why we've been born again and again, the sense of self. You know, they hold on to that. So the letting go cannot happen just through just listen to some Dharma talks, or maybe you do a few retreats read a few Dharma books. No, you have to practice. You have to apply it in your daily life. So that's why the first thing that we know how to let go, what to let go of, that is the first thing you have to be able to recognize that. That is important. How to recognize is not easy to recognize because this is all the mental object is very difficult to recognize, isn't it? It's very subtle. That's why we have to practice mindfulness. We apply this in our daily life to slow down our mind. One of the reasons why is where our mind nowadays is too busy. So everybody, you know, they're doing many things at once. I remember just a few days ago, one younger 8-year-old girl come and ask me that how to train her mind to be more focused. So I asked her, normally what do you do at home? When you watch televisions, what do you do? She said, sometimes she look at iPad, she look at televisions, and then she eat. So I said, I told her, I said, you know, actually the mind can only do one thing at a time. But you are doing so many things at once, you know. So it's just like, it seems that we'd be able to do many things at once, but actually it's not. Because the mind travels very fast. It's faster than light. So actually we are doing many things at once. Then, very busy, isn't it? Just imagine all day our mind running around like that. So I asked this little girl, I said, so if your mind been running like that all day long, how do you feel? She said, tired. I said, it's tired. I said, that's why you have to train your mind to slow down your mind first. That's why one of the practices that we can do in our daily life that we try to slow down. Try whatever we do, whatever, for example, any emotion or we get upset or we get angry, negative emotion comes up. The first thing, we try to pause for a little while, not to react. We restrain our mind. Stop. You know, just for a minute, not to do anything. And we reflect. We make it a practice. Of course, it's very difficult because it's very easily to go along, isn't it? Once our emotion comes up, you know, it's easy to go along to go against. Like the Buddha said, it's easy to go along. But to go against, you have to make an effort to stop that. So that's like when our craving, our defilements kick out. And to stop that is not easy. That's why you have to practice mindfulness. When we're mindful, we're aware of what's happening, you know, what arises, and we be able to catch that. It's important because sometimes the emotion is a more difficult part to catch, but the thoughts is easy. For example, if you have this negative emotion, or we got upset, so or fear arises. And I just give you an example. It's just happening just recently. 8 years old boy, he come to me and asked how to deal with his fear, because he has lots of fear. So because he's just so afraid of even going to the room, he always wants someone to be with him. He has lots of fear. So then I asked him, whenever you have that fear, you're scared of something. I asked him, what are you afraid of? He said he don't know. He just has lots of fear. So I said, when your fear comes, I said, what's followed by that? He said, thoughts. He would think about that, you know, the fear. And then he become more fearful. So that's like the thought itself, we have to stop from that. So when the thoughts, because the thoughts itself manifest our action, our deed, and the deed manifests our habit, and the habit harden our characters, our personality, and we have a certain way of certain mental habitual pattern. So we think about it, become more fearful. So, and for example, like depression, nowadays people have lots of even as young as 10 years old have depression. And because we think that depression is a problem, but depression is just a state of mind, and it arises, it's gone, it's a subside. It's just like I just now explained about the spark. When it's just the trigger, it comes up. If you don't feed it, actually it's a subside. So if you let it be, it's a subside. But the problem is, we always try to interfere, isn't it? We try to do something, we try to get rid of it. It's very difficult. So that's why when we aware of that, we recognize that, then actually to be able to recognize that, then we acknowledge that. Yes, I still have this attachment, I still not be able to let go, I still have lots of anger towards this person. You recognize that and you acknowledge that, it's fine. Then we be able to accept that it's okay. I still have that. I'll not be able to let go. At the moment, it's fine. Then actually, a lot of people cannot see that actually accepting itself actually is letting go. If we be able to accept who we are, where we at, that is letting go itself. But the problem is, we want it to be otherwise, and then we try to do this, we try to do that. Actually, it's very difficult not to do anything, to accept who we are. And just recently, someone come to me. He said that, you know, that when a few days ago, I think a week ago, there's that happened that in France, that the terrorists, you know, that incident that and the terrorist were killed, and he said that, you know, when he watched the news, and actually he said that he didn't feel sorry for the terrorists that were being killed, because he feel that they deserve it, you know. But on the other hand, he noticed that actually it's not very kind, you know. I'm a Buddhist, you know, and you know, as a Buddhist, you've been, you know, have this kindness and compassion towards others, you know. And but I have no compassion towards this person. But I know that, you know, that as a Buddhist, and that is not a very good thing, you know, that we think that the person deserves it. And when this person told me, I told that person, I said, it's wonderful that the fact that you be able to recognize that and you be able to acknowledge that, actually is a big step. To be able to see your own defilements, you need to have wisdom, because it's very difficult to see. So I told that person, actually you are wise to the extent. at least you see, rather than sometimes we think that we are free of, we have no defilements, we are okay, we are kind, we are really compassionate, we are so kind and so compassionate. So then actually we deny and we are not seeing. Actually, at least that we see that we are wise to that extent. Actually, you need to have wisdom in order to see our defilements, where we get caught, isn't it? Where the defilements coming, what we holding on to. That's why the moment we see that, you know, we acknowledge that and accept that it's okay. I'm not there yet. I'm not that kind. I'm not that compassionate yet. It's fine. So I said, at least you are wise to the extent, like the Buddha said, the fool know that he's a fool, he's wise to the extent. If a fool think that he's wise, he indeed a fool. I said, it's okay that you are not that compassionate. You recognize that, you acknowledge that, you accept that, yes, I'm not there yet. Because sometimes, like, people tell me that they feel bad about themselves. They think that, oh, I'm really terrible. I'm so judgmental. I'm really bad. And actually, it's counterproductive. You beating yourself up. You know, and actually, you reinforce your the defilements, you know, the anger you reinforce. So it's actually the momentum is still there. But the letting go is only happen little by little, you know. It's a gradual training. The Buddha said gradual training. So each time that we don't react to that, and the next time it comes out, it becomes weaker. The intensity of the emotion getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Eventually it stops. It's just like we throw the ball out. The ball keep rolling, isn't it? Eventually the ball will stop, isn't it? But if we start to kick the ball, the ball will keep rolling. It's the same thing. The momentum is still there, but eventually it stops. But sometimes people say, oh, why are still holding on to, they feel bad about themselves. That is where we accept that who we are, we are not that, it's okay. But sometimes our ego, that we think that we should be better than that. You know, I've been practicing so many years, I should be, even, you know, if I'm not enlightened, but at least close to enlightened. So that's why we couldn't, you know, this is the ego, we can't take it, you know. So we try very hard, we push it away, we deny. But at least, you know, to accept that, actually to accept is not easy. People think that it's easy. To accept oneself is not easy. To accept your own defilements is not easy. Actually, the fact that you accept actually is letting go. To allow things be is letting go. Letting go is not getting rid of things. It's okay. If this moment I feel agitated, I feel irritated, it's fine. And this emotion will pass. It comes and go. But we keep reinforce that tendency. Then the momentum, it will not stop. It's just like we keep pouring, you know, kerosene, you know, when the spark comes, and then it keeps burning. So we're feeding it. So that's why it's important that we be able to accept that and to embrace, forgive and let go. Of course, sometimes it's not easy, you know, that to be able to forgive someone and let go. It's not easy. But sometimes that when you forgive someone, actually we are freeing ourselves. And then only you'll be able to let go, to embrace, you know. Because if we can't embrace the mistake of others, we can't embrace our own mistake. So because the compassion actually come from, because we have to recognize that we are not like the Buddha. We are not like the Buddha. We have this great compassion and this loving kindness. We are not that level yet. But it's okay, you know. But that's why it's important that we accept that it's okay. I remember someone come to me that she told me that she's been abused for many years and she's left her husband, and she knows that to holding on to the anger, the hatred, a lot of anger, hatred towards her ex-husband, she knows that it's not doing her any good. So she wanted to let it go. And she found it very difficult. And then she told me that she tried to do loving kindness. But she said, I can't, because the moment she tried to send loving kindness, all the terrible things that her ex-husband that did to her, you know, that comes out. She said, very difficult to have loving kindness. So I told her, it's okay. I said, you accept the fact that you still not be able to let go. You still have, you not be able to have loving kindness towards him. But at least I said, you have loving kindness towards yourself. I said, next time you send loving kindness towards yourself, may I be able to let go. May I be able to forgive. May I be able to have this loving kindness towards this person. Because if you can't do it, you know, I you wish yourself, may I be able to let it go. It's okay. I said, if you can't let it go, it's okay. So that's why it's important that, you know, we be able to recognize, you know, to know what we are holding on to recognize and to acknowledge, to accept and forgive and let go. Let go. This, the letting go, only happen. But of course, it's in theory, it's very easy. But you have to practice. You have to put into practice. Then by practice generosity, because generosity is helped you to overcome your desires. You know, they help you to let go the one thing, because the attachment is come from the craving, the one thing, the desires. So that is part, of course, that is from more coarser level to more refined level. At the beginning, we give away our material things. That is easy to give, isn't it? So if we can't give away our material things, how come we let go of our sense of self? The more refined, how to let go of our anger, our greed, you know, that is more subtle, that is a mental level, that is more refined. So we have to, we are very fortunate that we have this way the Buddha's point out, this Noble Four Path, that we practice generosity and being a virtuous person, keeping precepts, you know, to restrain ourselves in our behavior, our body, speech, and mind. Because sometimes it's good to restrain ourselves. Because sometimes very easily that, you know, we just said something and then we regret later that we shouldn't have said that. That's why it's very important that we make a point that we try to slow down ourselves, you know, try to do one thing at a time, not to do with, especially nowadays when people sit together and people don't talk to each other. They're all, you know, with the iPhone, you know, doing this, you know. And actually I remember my sister told me that her daughter-in-law, the first thing in the morning, she go to the toilet, also she use this one, go to the toilet. I said, no wonder nowadays they have this waterproof, you know, the smartphone, so that they drop into the toilets also is fine. Actually, we have to change our habit pattern. This bad habit is not a very good habit, you know. Try to do one thing at a time, you know. Try to apply this in your daily life and then practice generosity and practice mindfulness, develop stillness, you know. And it's important to restrain our action, our speech, you know. That's why it's always good that we pause, you know, wait for a little while, just not to react first. And then we train that it becomes like, naturally after a while, it becomes like, it's natural, it's just part of us, you know. And we need to train the mind. It's just like, if you want to train the mental master, it's just like, if you want to train the bodybuilder, if they have to go to the gym, you know, you have to start off with, you know, the dumbbell, you can only lift 5 kilos, then you increase to 10 kilos, then you increase to, you know, more and more. And the mental muscles also we need to build up by slowing down, by stopping, by allowing things, you know. And that's why we have to train ourselves. So next time that put a little bit effort to restrain ourselves, just wait for a minute. But I know for some people, a minute is very long, a million years, you know. And this is the last joke that I'm going to tell you, because I talk about a 1 minute million years. There's a man, he went to God. He asked God, how long is a million years? And God replied to this man, he said, to me, a million years is just a minute. So he said, how much is $1 million? So God replied to this man. He said, to me, $1 million is just a penny. So this man asked God, may I have a penny, please? And then God replied that, no problem, okay, wait a minute. So some people, a minute is a million years, huh? So it's very long. That's why sometimes we have to apply this in our daily life practice, moment to moment advance, try to do one thing at a time, you know. So then this is how you apply. And then sometimes when you're stressed out, you just stop for a while not to do anything, you know. So you practice that, you apply this, practice generosity, keeping precept, you know, and practice mindfulness, stillness, then you develop your wisdom. When you have the clarity, then only you'll be able to catch, isn't it, to see your mental object, what arises between, you know, where you get caught, where you get hooked onto, where the attachment, where you attach to. Because if you don't know where what we attach to, we can never be able to let go. That we think that we are letting go, but actually we are changing object. You know, we change from one thing to another, but actually we are not really solving our problems. So I offer this for your Dhamma reflection. May this teaching be of benefit to all of you. Any questions or comments?
Cloud. I just have a question in terms of I'm over here.
Okay, yeah.
My apologies. If one truly sees through the attachment in relationships, would there be a natural disinclination towards forming an intimate relationship?
Can you repeat that question again?
If one truly sees through the attachment in relationships or in an intimate relationship, would the result be that there would be a natural disinclination towards forming an intimate relationship? Is it the word disinclination that's confusing, or?
I can't get what you're trying to ask.
Oh, okay.
Someone
I'll try a different word. If we truly see through our attachment, and if I be specific in terms of not maybe attachment to a son or whatever, but an attachment to an intimate relationship, a sexual relationship, an intimate relationship with a husband or a boyfriend or a woman, whatever your persuasion is, if you truly see through the attachment and you let go, would one then not be inclined towards forming a relationship? Would you then find that you wouldn't even want to have a relationship?
Okay, I get what you mean. Yes, actually it's very natural because you can see that because of the attachment, even with good relationship, because we all one day will die, you know, we still have to let go, you know what I mean? So because of the attachment to the other person, you know. And that's like with the relationships, you know, because you see that it's a suffering when you attach to that, then you are not inclined to decline. You're not interested in anything because you have the wisdom, you see the suffering. That's why it's natural. But doesn't mean that you don't have that attachment, that relationship. Doesn't mean that you don't have loving kindness, you don't love others. No, you still love. But that is the kind of, it's a pure love. A pure love. You feel happy for the person if the person is happy. You don't have to be with the person. You don't have to own the person. You don't have to be with the person, but you feel happy for the other person. You still have loving kindness towards the other person. It's natural, yes, when you see that because you see the suffering of the attachment, then it's naturally we call it the Buddha said nibbida, you will turn away from that because you see that, but it's not easy to see because we've been conditioned, you know, If you don't have sense of self, if you don't attach, you are not clear. This is part of being inhuman. Being human, you know, that is natural. That if you don't have that, we are not clear, we are not be born here. So that's why when someone see that, you have the wisdom, you see that, you naturally turn away. So is that answer your questions? I can see you. Yeah.
Hello, Venerable. Thank you for your talk. I'm interested in acceptance and letting go and how setting healthy boundaries fits into that. We're really encouraged these days to set healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I know that my boundaries revolve around my own conditioning, my own judgments, and we all have different conditioning, different judgments, etc. I was wondering what you thought about that, because if I was to set a lot of healthy boundaries about the way I think other people should interact with me, aren't I not just trying to control and manipulate the way other people interact with me, because I'm actually fearful of possible unpleasant thoughts that are going to arise in me? Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, at the beginning of your talk, we project those things that are good onto those objects. We project the things that make us feel uncomfortable or negative onto those people. So am I not really just deluding myself by trying to set so-called healthy boundaries?
So you're talking about to set the boundaries. Setting boundaries. Actually, yes, boundary is good. Sometimes you have to be really realistic. We know how much we can take, you know. Sometimes it's good to set the boundaries. This is what you're trying to ask, isn't it? Yes. No, sometimes you need boundary. Because sometimes our mind is really wild, you know. If you don't set a boundary, it's just, for example, it's like we keeping precept, you know. And skipping precept is just like a boundary, you know, to keep us in place so that we restrain ourselves, so that we don't step out of the boundaries. Sometimes to set a boundaries is not a bad thing.
I was referring more about setting boundaries about the way other people interact with us.
Okay. So how to set boundaries, okay. Actually, it's that, sometimes it's very difficult because of we've been affected by the other person. Sometimes, that's why it's very important you have to learn to say no. And I just share with you my experience. When I was a lay person, I'm very helpful, I'm very kind, I like to help everyone. And I stress myself out, and my plate is really full. Then whenever someone come to ask me, can you help me something? Actually, I can't really. I'm really full. I can't do it. But the moment I want, each time I want to say no, but I said yes. I find it very difficult to reject others. And I can see that actually come from my sense of self that because I'm afraid that if I said no to others, people think that I'm not so kind. Because I want to be liked, you know. You know, that I'm a kind person, I'm helpful person, I'm good, you know. If I said no, that I'm not kind, I'm not helpful. And because of the fear of losing my identity of being kind. And I find it very difficult. I really struggle and struggle so hard. But I realize that it's not wise. Actually, I'm not doing any good for ourselves. Because kindness have to have wisdom. You know, kindness without it, wisdom is become very destructive. Actually, it's not good for myself. And then I started to learn. I remember the first time I said no, it's so difficult, it's so easy for me. The next time I said no, the second time. They said sometimes you have to encourage yourself to say no, because kindness, sometimes for example, we have a friend, you know, we know that this person is very manipulative and very demanding, you know. And then if we know this person, if we always say yes to this person and always give what that person wants, actually we are not being really kind to that person. actually it's good to say no to that person. The person have to experience that you don't always get what you want. Actually, when we do that, actually, that is being kind. Actually, we are being kind to that person to say no. That's why I have to keep telling myself, I have to reflect on that and contemplate on that and telling myself that if I keep, you know, feeding that person, said yes to the person, helping the person, because the person is very demanding, very manipulative, you know. If I keep doing that, actually, I'm not really kind to that person. Because the person have to learn, have to experience that you don't always get what you want. So that's why it's important that you remind yourself, you know. And also, it's being kind to yourself too. So this is how I told that person, I said, you know, even this time I reject you, I can't do it. Because I said, because if it's actually it's better off that you find someone to do it, that the other person might do a better job than I do, because I'm really like stressed out. So if I said yes, then I will not do a good job. Actually, it's not fair, you know, and actually it's not kind. Actually, we are not kind to that person. But actually, I have to overcome that, overcome my sense of self, my ego, my losing my title of kind and helpful person. You know, we give ourselves the title. We think that we need to defend our title, you know. So that is the part, you know. But it takes me a while. And so difficult. Each time I struggle so hard, I want to say no. I say yes. Yes, and it takes me a while, but you know, you have to keep, you know, reminding yourself and contemplate on that, reflect on that, that actually when you said no, actually you're being kind to yourself and to that person. So actually it's good to set that boundaries, to not to allow yourself to, you know. Actually it's all come back to our sense of self, our ego. It's all come back to that. Okay. Is that answer your question? Okay. So any more questions or comments?